So this year we've been going through a theme as a church called Built to Last. So I think since the beginning of the year, we have looking at how can we have strong foundations as followers of Jesus Christ. And just like we build a strong house, to build a strong house, you want the foundation, the house to be strong and durable. You need to be intentional. You need to know what you need to put in there. And the same thing for our lives. We need to be intentional how we build our lives so we can have a full and meaningful life that honors God. So this year we have been exploring our foundations. And we started talking about the love of God. How can we connect with the love of God? And then we talk about our devotion to Him. How we can devote it to Him. And now we're looking at our love for each other. Our devotion to each other. So today we're going to continue in the Living Stone series, looking at this, our love for each other. And I believe God wants to speak to us today as a church. So united we can grow, so united we can continue to build His house. So more than a preacher today, it's going to be a family talk. We call ourselves a family. And we do this in our house, that we get our girls together. And we did this before, even with our foster children, that we would have a family time. And we talk about our rules, our values, and our dreams. And part of our conversation today is going to be like this. How do we want this house to look like? And how do we work as a family? So the title for my message today is Life Giving Family. And my purpose today is to remind that each one of us play a part in this giving life and seeing the life of God through us, in us, and from us to others. So we can see His light shine and can see His purpose be fulfilled in this world. So can you join me in prayer? To bow our heads. So Father God, I thank You so much for today. I thank You for the opportunity to talk, oh God. I thank the opportunity of speaking out Your word, Your truth, oh God. I pray that You prepare our hearts to receive and to respond to it, oh God. His Spirit, I pray that You speak through me, oh God, what it means to be a life-giving family, oh God, to be a church that is intentional in the way that we treat each other, love each other, and help each other grow, oh God. We surrender this time now to You, oh God, and yes, come and speak loud and clear to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. So if you have your Bible with you, can you turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 2? We're going to read verses 4 and 5. So 1 Peter chapter 2, 4 and 5, it says, "As you come to Him, the living stone, rejected by humans, but chosen by God and precious to Him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." Maybe my battery. Can you hear me?
Okay, let's just read this again. Should I turn this off? "As you come to Him, the living stone, rejected by humans but chosen by God and precious to Him, you also, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." So God's desire since the beginning of creation was for us to live in His presence. We see Adam and Eve in a garden of Eden, and they lived with God there. And then we know that how things go. They leave the garden, but then the people of God have something called the tabernacle, where God's presence was there. And literally just few people could go inside. And as the time passed, there's the temple that is built, and then God's presence was there. And then the Bible says that a new temple would come that won't be destroyed, and a new temple would come where God will make his house. And this temple is you and me. We are God's temple. And there's some quite interesting that God said to Adam and Eve, work and keep the garden. God says to God's people about the temple, work and keep the temple. And now God says to us, work and keep the temple. But the temple today is not made by bricks. It's not a building. It's made by people. It's made by you and me. And he calls us holy priesthood. So we are active in this temple. We need to work and keep that temple. And that temple is you and me and Leslie and Gabriella and Jonah. So we not just belong to each other, but we are also responsible for each other to work and keep each other. But for something quite powerful, because in this verse it says, to be a holy priesthood, offering spiritual sacrifice acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. You, like living stones, are being built into a spiritual house. So it's a house that can make a home for the Spirit of God. So we work and keep the church, each other, to make us house of God, to make his presence be manifest in us and through us, to see his power, to see his healings, to see the salvation that he brings, the transformation that he brings to our lives. That's why we work and keep the temple. So today, I'm here to talk about serving and giving. And I was thinking a lot about what to bring and what to say. There's so many things I could be saying about serving and giving in the house of God. But today I really want to say about the impact that serving and giving brings to God's church. Our serving and bringing here not just bring the transformation that we want for our lives, but it brings the transformation that we want for each one of us to everyone's lives. And that it makes it possible for the Spirit of God to manifest in us and manifesting this place. And I think all of us can say that we want to see the Spirit of God manifesting more and more in this house and in our lives. And that's what serving and giving and fully investing ourselves and committing ourselves to the local church that we're part of can do, is making this place a house for the Spirit of God to move. So like living stones, we are being built into a spiritual house, a house where the Spirit of God can only be made by those who are made alive in Christ. So today, as we talk about serving and giving, I want to talk about the part we play in creating space and atmosphere where others can grow and flourish in God. Romans 12:5 says, so in Christ, we though many form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. So we belong to each other. Like a family, we are called to understand our role and part in each other's growth. And if we get together, the Spirit of God will manifest in the midst of us. So in the world that we live today, people struggle so much with commitment. Some people find hard to grasp. Love others above their own needs, above their own agenda, is a hard thing to do. It's not something that is preached in the world today. But serving, giving a church is investing to the cause of Christ. This is the news that Jesus came to bring, that we will become one just as he is one with God. So one day we can become one with them too. So serving and giving a church is investing into the cause of Christ, into the building and the formation of his church. So I want to bring three ways that our serving and our giving can impact the church, can impact this place. So first, it nurtures the church. I'm reading a parenting book by Clay and Sally Clarkson, and it's called The Life-Giving Parenting. Parent, that's why Life-Giving Family title today. But it talks about building a home where the living God is working in it, within it. And in the beginning of the book, it talks about a distinction between a home that's Christian, mainly because there are cultural Christian things happening there. So going to church, kids going to Sunday school, maybe reading the Bible once in a while. But there's a difference between a house that cultural Christian things happen there and a house where the living God is acting and in perceptible ways that you can see him moving and transforming the family. And then I thought, it's the same for church, isn't it? You can there are so many churches in the world, but we can't see the huge influence that Christianity can do in our society, because it's easy to do the habits and the practice of Christianity, but it's harder to let the Spirit of God transform our ways and be present in everything that we do. But for that to happen, for us to have a home or our church in a way that is engaging with the living God, we need to be intentional about it. We need to seek and pursue God together as a family church, church family. So yeah, it is the same for our church family. All our ministry and projects have no effect on the people we are serving and to ourselves if God is not present, moving, and operating at all. Being a life-giving church family is about bringing the life of God into all we do as a church. Welcome his love, let his light shine through our activities and programs, let his spirit renew and transform the way we do things. We engage with God, we let Jesus make us alive in him, and we watch what the Spirit does as he makes this church his house. But how can we do this? How can we embrace serving and giving in the church in a way that is not just part of a habit or just what we do, but in a way that allows the Spirit of God to move in the midst of us? And the word that I want to bring first is that we need to nurture. It's nurture. We nurture our church family. We nurture each other. So can you open with me in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 7 to 12. So 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 7 to 12, it says, just as a nursing mother cares for her children, so we cared for you. Because we loved you so much, we're delighted to share with you not only the gospel of God, but our lives as well. Surely we remember, brothers and sisters, our toil and hardship. We worked night and day in order not to be a burden to anyone while we preached the gospel of God to you. You are witness, and so is God, of how holy, righteous, and blameless we were among you who believed. For you know that we dealt with each of you as a father deals with his own children, encouraging, comforting, and urging you to live lives worthy of God who calls you into his kingdom and glory. So this is Paul talking to the Thessalonica church about how he was dealing with them. So he's used words like a nursing mother, like a father deals with his children. He was encouraging, comforting, and urging them to live lives worth of God. And it's the same in our church family. We have this responsibility of nurture each other, of encouraging, of comfort, and urging each other to live lives worthy of God. And it came in my mind, the word training. You know, with little children, you start by training them to do the simple tasks like eating with a fork and a knife, maybe can be even praying. So the things that you do consistently for your little children so that they can learn something. But you're not necessarily worried about what they are doing, but you worried about the character that you create on them, isn't it? That you do with your little children. And it's the same in our church family. We need to think about everything that we do as a church, that we not just think about the behavior things. So we come, we do worship, we have a preach, and then kids go to kids' school. But we're not thinking about just the behavior. We think about shaping and forming hearts and training people so they can have the truths of God reinforced on them in their hearts, so they can live lives worth of God. So when we think about serving and giving in church, I think the word nurture needs to come first thing in our mind, that whatever we do, however you're serving, you need to have that responsibility of nurture each other in there. And when I think about my experience with church growing up, that word came to me. All the different places where I served or gave, how I invest myself in church, was because there are other people investing in me and my growth, my spiritual growth. I remember when I was around 6, 7, 8, I used to serve in the Chidos Choir Church. So twice a week we'd go for these rehearsals and then sing at church on Sundays. And what it seems quite simple, just a band of children singing, was actually today when I go through a really hard time, these are the songs that come to my mind. Those are the truths of God that was stamped into my heart by few ladies that twice a week would go to church and spend an hour with some kids trying to make them sing well. And it seemed simple, quite small, but actually nurtured my heart and reinforced the words of God into me. Other experience. So I played the keyboard, and I started playing the keyboard. I was around maybe 12 at church. And when I was around 14, 15, they decided that all the people in worship team, they would become mentors of the younger ones. So I had this keyboard mentor, and she got all of us to play the keyboard. And we studied the Old Testament about the Levites and how they did worship, how they were the first in battle, how we should treat worship. But then they also made us do something that we had to go to. We had a rota to go to church once a month and clean the keyboard, clean all the bits of the keyboard. And again, what it seems so simple, it actually put something in my heart to think that the way we treat things at church really matters. And the way that we invest ourselves in doing things for church really matters. The worship that we bring to people really matters, because it will nurture their hearts as well for worship. What else? I put lots of things here for me to say. Paul and Shirley, how are they here? They are serving there. That's Paul. So Jason and I were part of Paul and Shirley's group, and it really nurtured us. It just, Paul and Shirley would come with their different ways. So Shirley with her peace and calmness, and Paul with his, let's just grab together, get some food. But it really nurtured in my heart that it's important to spend time with our friends from church and sit at the table and eat and talk about God. And it's not a hard thing to talk about God. It is natural. It is spontaneous. It is part of who they are and become part of who we are as well. At the moment, I'm part of a Bible study with Dre and Hannah. And it's been life-giving as well. They are nurturing our hearts. And Hannah, she's in love with the Bible. And it comes through her face. But it just, I think it igniting everyone in the group to just open their Bibles and read and read and read. Hannah, she read that Bible and say, "Hallelujah! Praise be to God!" And it's just so good, because it nurtures something in your heart that the Word of God is something to be treasured. And it's precious, and it make me want to read my Bible more. So everything we do at church, the way we serve, even the small things, when we're intentional about them, to nurture people around us, we can see transformation. there's something that is not just abstract, but they're starting to become real to people. So part of this nurture is not just nurturing the spirit, but feeling the, not just give information to fill people's mind, like maybe I'm doing now, just give you lots of Bible verse, but nurturing the spirit. Yeah, and that is made when we interact with each other. I know 2020, we spend a lot of time at home, not really seeing each other. But church is made alive, and the Word of God is made alive when we interact with each other and we nurture each other. You know, there's a difference between reading the Bible and listening to a testimony, isn't it? The testimony is powerful because you think, if God has done this in their life, He can do in mine. And that fills your heart to have more faith and believe that God can do. And illustrations and anchors of meanings and what we do as a church when we're serving together, maybe serving the welcome team and seeing a new person come to Christ for the first time, when we're serving a kid's work and see a child sharing maybe a difficult situation they are in and you can pray for them. All those things brings whatever we're reading in the Bible and what we believe to life and nurture the church. It makes it grow. So first point was serving and giving, it nurtures the church. And then our second point is it shows commitment. So serving and giving and investing your time, your talents, your resources to church, it shows your commitment. I heard someone saying in a message, like all the things that church is not. And then he gave this example about church is not a lift. Like when lots of people can go in, they are going to the same direction. But in a lift, like you don't really want to look to people around you. And you stay like in your corner and then you all go out. You're going to the same direction, but you really don't care about who is there with you. Church is not like that. It's completely the opposite. You go in the same direction, but for you to go and go faster, you need each other. You need to look at each other and care for each other. We have a covenant of love as church. Jesus wants to make us one. One church, one body. And we can't really ignore a hurt feet, or we can't really ignore a broken finger. It bothers us. It's annoying, it's painful. So we really need to look at each other as part of a family church and care. I want to read from Acts 2. So Acts 2, 44. So Acts 2, 44, it says, all the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. And there's much more that talks about the first church. But there was a sense of commitment there that's quite completely different from everything that I have experienced and probably you have experienced. But it gives us this model and example that we are in a covenant and we need to be committed to each other. It's not just in doing something together when we're serving, but really caring and loving each other, really being aware of each other's needs and seeing how can we make them fulfilled. So serving and investing ourselves in church, it shows commitment. It shows that you care. I think JP shared maybe last month, and he said something, if you go to your wife and she says that she needs help with looking after one of the children, you wouldn't just say no. But he said it's so easily a church to say no to the needs that we have and the things that are going on to not get involved. But he said you can't do this in a family. And we need to look at each other as part of a family. We need to look at a church that we are part of one family. And someone's need is my need. Someone's need is my concern too. And the third point is that it prepares for God's mission. So serving a church and fully investing in a church, it nurtures each other, nurtures the church. It shows commitment and it prepares us for the mission. So I think it's so easy to come to church and sit down and listen and be fed and go back home and then read your Bible and come back and, oh, that word was good, that message was good, and being filled. I think if I stop and think how many preaches I have heard in my life for now, it's going to be so many. But what do we do with everything that's inside of us, everything that God has poured out in us as well, not just people in the church, God himself as well poured out in us. We just can't keep it to ourselves. We need to do something about it. So the serving in church and the giving, the investing in church and the nurturing that the people give you at church, it is to prepare us for God's mission. So talking about intentionality, like I said in the beginning, we are intentional about the type of family that we're creating. Isn't it? The same way that we are intentional about the character that we want our children to have and how we pray with the Holy Spirit to help that be shaped. It's the same as us as a church. We need to be intentional to the type of church that we are creating. And that comes from our serving and our giving and our investment that we do at church. So we serve and we invest all we have at church so that we can fulfill God's purpose and plans. Someone said once that church can't be a place just full of sheep, like everyone's a sheep waiting for someone to come and look after them and take care of them and serve them and feed them. We actually want everyone to be empowered and prepared to do the same for someone else. I think Tim would say that he doesn't want to have 200 children and have to look after them daily too. But the same thing that we do with our children, one day they're going to become parents. And the same thing in the church, we want everyone to be fully prepared one day for them themselves to be a parent and for them to have children as well. So we serve and invest one another so we can all be disciples of Christ that make other disciples too. The need is sometimes we can just become another demand at church. We can just become another thing that needs to be solved at church instead of us ourselves being the resource. Each one of us here are a resource for church and is here to be used and is here to be part of the mission. So our aim here and our serving, our giving, whoever is serving, preparing a message, whoever is serving, doing worship or coffee, children's work, it is to make each one of us a missionary for Christ, each one of us a disciple of Christ. Charles Spurgeon says that every Christian is either a missionary or an imposter. And I think that's a quite strong statement, that we are in church and we do church for that purpose, to build the church, so build each other's, make each one of us disciples, people that are ready and to give what has been received, ready to share God's word, ready to pray for someone, ready to be hospitable to someone. We are the ones who carry his word. We are the ones who carry his light. And our mission as a church is to make everyone ready and prepared for that. So we serve to build God's house. We serve to be disciples who contribute to the cause of Christ. We serve because Jesus served, he gave himself. And we serve because people's journey shaped their hearts. And we want to see a church being as powerful as it can be. I want to finish on 1 Corinthians chapter 3, 16 to 17. That says, "Don't you know that you yourselves are God's temple and that God's Spirit lives among you? If anyone destroys God's temple, God will destroy that person. But God's temple is sacred, and you together are that temple." I was thinking about this pandemic and all the effects that have had in our lives in so many ways, but how it seems also an attack on the church, and the church with the big C, what it means to come together, what it means to be committed to each other, to be committed to each other's growth. And I want to finish for us praying for us as a church, praying for us as a family church, that we can't let lockdown and everything that happened makes it so easy for us to lose that commitment that God has asked for us to have to each other, that love that we need to have for each other, that sense of responsibility of nurturing each other, and most importantly, to prepare each other for God's mission, to prepare each other so together we can be God's temple, we can be the house of the Spirit of God, where we can see Him manifesting and using each one of us for His mission. So would you stand with me? And we will pray for God to understand our part on it, the part that we have to play in this family. How can we nurture those around us? How can we be committed to those around us? And how can we prepare each other for the mission, for the cause of Christ? So Father God, we thank you so much that you brought us together, oh God, as one body. Thank you so much that you made us call this place our church family, oh God. And I pray that will help us to understand our part to play in this house, a part to play in this family, oh God. I pray they will help us to know how can we nurture those around us, oh God. How we can be intentional in the ways we serve this house. What are the things that the Spirit is calling us to change or to do it differently, oh God, so we can be intentional about each other's growth. God, I pray that while we do our rotas or commit to do things in this house, oh God, we're going to put your word and who you are in as a priority, oh God. So all that we do here, oh God, is going to be with the aim of others seeing you and growing you, oh God, and not having you just an abstract idea, oh God, but seeing you alive and working in our lives, oh God. Give us the courage to share our testimonies, to share our stories, to share our difficulties with others so others can join us in pray for our difficulties, oh God, so others can join in our story too of growth. God, I pray for vulnerability, oh God, and accountability, oh God, that we're not going to walk alone in the things that we need help, oh God, but we're going to find someone in this house that can support us, oh God. Thanks so much that your Spirit prepare us to give words of knowledge, oh God, and give a word at the right time for someone. Let us not be shy to share everything that you already given to us, oh God. It can be so easy to be like the multitude listening to Jesus. It's much harder being the disciple that is disciplined and hear the hard words of God and that really try to understand what's going on. Help us to be disciples that want to contribute to the cause of Christ. Lord, I pray for our commitment, oh God. Steer in our hearts the way that we need to live our lives and the way that we need to be part of your mission here, oh God. Let it not just be a Sunday thing, but whatever happens here on the Sundays, on the weekdays, and especially in the small groups, we influence completely the way that we do our lives. Oh God, this house is what prepares us to see our work as our mission field, This place is what prepares our children to see their school as a mission field. This place is what prepares us to have the Word of God so ready in our tongue to share with people we need. Oh God, this word that they give us, this place is what gives us the courage to be all that you want us to be, oh God. Let us see this place as the house of God. Not a club that we come on Sundays, not a place that we come to find our spirituality, oh God, but a place where we meet you, the living God that's acting and alive and transforming lives. I thank so much that I can look in people's faces here today and be reminded of stories, of testimonies, of things that they share, of how God has worked in their lives in the past. And this propels me to live a life that is worth of God, that live a life where I can see you, God, working and transforming me. God, yeah, today we want to recommit ourselves to your cause, to your church, and to see this place be transformed by your Spirit. Thanks so much that like living stones, you are building us as a spiritual house for your Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.